and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw today is trying to fight back against claims made against his government's handling of the intelligence in the months leading up to the war on Iraq. Yesterday, former Foreign Secretary Robin Cook and ex-Cabinet Minister Clare Short testified before a board of inquiry investigating if the government misled Parliament purposely about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction capabilities. Short yesterday accused Tony Blair of deciding to go to war last year, a claim Straw is denouncing.
It was not the case that a fixed decision for war was taken at an early stage. We were prepared to take yes for an answer from Saddam Hussein. I said that often enough myself.
Straw insists, as there was much debate at senior government meetings in the run-up to the war, and the intelligence, he says, was accurate. Another American soldier, meanwhile, has been killed today in Iraq. Military officials say someone opened fire on troops in central Baghdad, wounding a second member as well from the 1st Armored Division. Just yesterday, a soldier from that same division was killed when he was shot by a sniper while on patrol. Separately, meanwhile, an American soldier fatally shot two protesters today during a confrontation with former Iraqi troops outside U.S. headquarters in Baghdad. The Israeli government says the death of a 7-year-old girl at the hands of apparent Palestinian militants is just further proof terrorist organizations in the region have not stopped their attacks and don't intend to do so. Gunmen killed the girl as she was riding in a car through the West Bank late yesterday. Israeli government spokesman Avi Posner says the militant groups are simply following up on a promise to actually expand their attacks.
A 7-year-old Israeli girl was assassinated by Palestinian terrorists. Last week, those terrorist organizations pledged to kill Israeli women and children. They carried out their threat.
The attack took place after Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas failed to persuade militants to call a ceasefire with Israel. Two other people wounded in the attack have been identified as the dead girl's 5-year-old sister and her father.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
A state of emergency is in effect in Benton Harbor, Michigan, after rioters took to the streets for a second night in a row last night. Demonstrators reportedly throwing rocks and bottles at police and also set some homes on fire. They were protesting the death of a man during a police chase early Monday. Police say he was speeding when he slammed into a house. The Justice Department is at least trying to differentiate now between racial profiling and police work and using ethnicity to identify possible terrorists. New rules forbid police from using race as a factor in routine investigations, but it still can be used when there is, quote, trustworthy information linking suspects to a criminal.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad.
I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
The judge conducting the hearing for a Fort Campbell soldier who's accused in a fatal grenade attack on fellow troops in Kuwait earlier this year will use a video hookup today to hear from soldiers who are still stationed overseas. That story now from reporter Mary Perrin.
Sergeant Hassan Akbar faces murder and attempted murder charges. Two soldiers were killed and 14 injured in the March 22nd attack. 101st Airborne Division spokesman Major Trey Cate says it occurred on the eve of their scheduled move into Iraq.
We mourned our fallen comrades. We paid our respects to their families. They pulled up their bootstraps. straps, and the next day they rolled out and went to war. Since that time, they've fought over 1,200 kilometers north. They are keeping the peace in a huge area. They're getting lights. They're getting electricity. They're taking care of children.
The hearing should conclude Friday with findings due a week later. I'm Mary Perrin.
Attorneys for Akbar claim their client was worried U.S. soldiers would rape and kill Muslims during the war on Iraq. Akbar himself is Muslim, and he and his lawyers are trying to make a case for racial and ethnic prejudice against him. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bob Parklinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant valance. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Popping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today. Speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, which is standard equipment Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, and Jaguar cars. And streaming live on the internet from radiopower.org and iamericaradio.com. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to tomhartman.com, click on the link to the radio show, click on the link to the chat room, and when you get into the trade forum, click on the chat button. That'll take you there. There's already some folks there having a lively conversation. Today is day 90 of the hunt for the weapons of mass deception.
First, some ask why Iraq is different from other countries or regimes that also have terrible weapons. While there are many dangers in the world, the threat from Iraq stands alone because it gathers the most serious dangers of our age in one place.
The most serious dangers of our age, we have lost almost 200 of our young men and women. Why? Our quote for the day from Ralph Nader. Students, he said, if you don't turn on to politics, politics is going to turn on you. That's a lesson you may learn the hard way. Today we're talking in our first hour about, is big money overwhelming democracy and free speech in the USA? In our second hour, we're going to talk with the California campaign manager for the Kucinich campaign. So it's going to be an interesting day. I'll get into some more of the detail on this a little later on, but I've got a guest on. I want to bring him on quickly. The slap suits and suits, lawsuits in general, as a means to shut people up are very popular in corporate America. And we have now this situation where a fellow by the name of Bruce Watson wrote a piece in the Gazette Net. Not sure where that is, but it's called Who's Listening to This All-American Jerk? And he says, Mike was the terror of my high school locker room, snapping towels at young boys' private parts, getting freshmen in a headlock and rubbing their faces in his armpits, calling all the boys queers and wimps.
I remember Mike. I remember the time he dropped trow at the senior prom. I remember when he told the principal he was a blankety-blank queer. I remember teachers shaking their heads and wondering what would become of him. Mike, Bruce Watson says, was an ugly guy, weird hair that seemed to grow on all visible parts of his body, acne to make you cringe. We always wondered if that mossy growth on his teeth made him so angry. And he goes on and on about Mike. Well, Mike was a guy named Mike, either Mike Weiner or Mike Weiner, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, who renamed himself Michael Savage, got on the radio, and then some folks started taking him to task. They didn't appreciate some of the things he was saying, some of his quotes, and developed a website, SavageStupidity.com, and Michael Savage Sucks, as I recall, is the other one. And Take Back the Media had been pointing out what was going on and pointing back to the GLAAD website, which I believe is Gay and Lesbians Against Defamation, and all of them got whacked with a lawsuit. We have on our show today Michael Stinson of the Take Back the Media group. It's TakeBackTheMedia.com. Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
How are you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Michael?
Well, I'll get better when Savage is off the air.
Well, you know, that's something that's going to depend probably more on the free market than you or me, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. There's an awful can of worms being opened up by the slap lawsuit. I think they may have bit off more than they can chew.
Well, tell us about it. Tell us the history. What happened here?
Well, basically, there's three sites that are named in the suit. Ours is one of them. Not necessarily our site, but one of the members of our site, the administrative person, was personally served with the suit instead of the site, which is a corporation, which I don't understand. It's kind of a cowardly thing to do. It was filed in Chicago, where slap suits are still available. If this had happened in California, they would have never been able to do it. And we're based in California, so it doesn't make any sense other than to harass us, which is what slap suits are all about.
Right. And what are they specifically, what sort of damages are they looking for?
Well, they're looking for over $500,000. They're claiming that our sites, the three sites combined, have cost them the Culligan Water advertising for Talk Radio Network, who is actually suing us on behalf of Michael Savage. And the funny thing about it is the comments that were made on our commentary page, which basically point back to the GLAAD boycott, which was very effective, were made on our website after Culligan had dropped them as advertisers. So the suit is completely baseless and without merit.
Well, Michael Stinson of TakeBackTheMedia.com and the other sites that have been sued are SavageStupidity.com and MichaelSavageSucks.com. Michael Stinson, why did Michael Weiner Savage sue you in the first place? I mean, what was it that got him going, or his network?
Well, I think the fact that we mentioned that Roy Masters was a cult. And there's some potential in this lawsuit for it actually being Roy Masters' radio station that's coming after us.
Who is Roy Masters?
Roy Masters is a fellow that runs the Foundation for Human Understanding. And according to The Watchman, which we quoted, The Watchman site, they're considered a cult. A bunch of them moved back to a compound in Grants Pass, Oregon. Roy Masters actually gave Savage his start on his talk radio network. And these two people have been very intertwined. They attend functions with each other and everything, and they know each other quite well.
You mean TRN, Talk Radio Network, is owned by Roy Masters or run by Roy Masters?
Well, see, there's some conjecture there. Nobody seems to know who owns these, and so we're investigating all of this, and we may have some really blockbuster information coming out in the future on all this. We can't talk about that right now, but we can say that Michael Savage is a pretty vile person and really shouldn't be on the radio if there's children in the room.
Well, for example, I mean, what did he do that isn't appropriate in your opinion?
What has Michael Savage said?
Right.
Well, one of his quotes was about Elizabeth Smart, that poor little girl that was abducted by the religious fanatic and repeatedly raped. And Michael Savage said something, I'm paraphrasing here, to the effect that she deserved it. And I just think that's completely vile.
Mm.
He's said that the... United States is, some of the quotes are on our website. He's talking about the United States is being taken over by perverts and mental defectives and things like that.
Right.
He just doesn't really have anything to add to any sort of discussion I mean, he makes Rush Limbaugh look like a choir boy.
Well, you know, it seems to me that comparing him to Rush Limbaugh is comparing apples to oranges. I mean, Limbaugh is a conservative. He's into politics and philosophy and whatnot, but Michael Savage, I would say, is a shock jock, not a political commentator. I mean, I think that there's a big difference between the two. He's more in the realm of perhaps the history of what's his name, Howard Stern kind of thing. You know, let's freak out people, don't you think?
Well, I think he's much more than that. I mean, I can't believe some of the things he's saying. If you come on the website and have a look around, another good website to go to, as we mentioned, is the GLAAD website.
GLAAD.org?
Yeah, or the Gay and Lesbian Alliance, Anti-Defamation Alliance. They did a wonderful job when he was first hired by MSNBC, who also hired Joe Scarborough. What's that smell in your office, Joe? And who are they going to hire next on MSNBC? Charlie Manson. But they've got
they're trying to outright-wing Fox News. You know, Fox has gotten successful doing this, and so
well, I've got news for MSNBC. There's already a Fox station,
right?
But
I agree. I was waiting for Ted Turner to buy CNN back and turn it into a liberal news media to balance Fox's conservative news media, and then we'd be, you know, back to the kind of historic way that the news was reported in the United States, which was you could listen to one side or the other and make up your mind based on all the facts.
Well, that's what Take Back the Media is all about. You know, our side is all about bringing democracy back into the scene. Let's get some equal time. As far as the conservatives are concerned, what I tell them, if you think that there's a problem out here, that it's a liberal media and you can't get a fair shot, why don't we just reenact the fairness doctrine, if only for your own protection?
Oh, they won't go for that.
No,
I've got some quotes here from Michael Savage from a quote that you had done earlier, an interview. Savage, you had said, has said, the United States is being taken over by the freaks, the crippled, the perverts, and the mental defectives. He calls gay and lesbians perverts and talks about the gay and lesbian mafia wants our children. And that America is a sheocracy, where a minority of feminist zealots rule the culture. Together, they have both feminized and homosexualized much of America to the point where the nation has become passive, receptive, and masochistic. And he called Ashley Banfield, she was an NBC reporter, was she not, who kind of outed them on their war coverage. He called her a mind slut with a big pair of glasses. I mean, this is, he refers to Asians as little soy eaters and Chinese people as little devils.
Yeah,
very strange stuff. But we have a call here. 1-800-TALK-YES. If you'd like to be on the program here, we're talking to Michael Stinson of TakeBackTheMedia.com. 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in Santa Cruz is on the line. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey,
you
Billy.
Know your guest is telling the truth about the Roy Mayer's connection to Michael Wiener.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it so I can get sued too. He is a cult leader. He is a huge woman hater. I'm talking about not Michael now, but Roy. He is the kind of guy, for example, who talks about you on his program directly and then won't let you on to defend yourself.
Well, there's a long history of that. I mean, Joe Pine started that back in the 1950s.
They mute
Coughlin
you and then they
that
launch into a diatribe.
I'm sorry, what was that?
They mute you and then they launch into a diatribe. That's what they all do.
Oh, yeah, and Roy's specifically interesting. He's the kind of guy that if you say something to him listen, old man, like someone once said to him on the radio, he goes crazy about how can you insult him, how can you speak to him that way, and then a minute later he will call you much worse names.
But, Billy, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with what he does, Roy Masters?
Right. Yeah. Don't you think that? I mean, if I can say what I want on this program, shouldn't he be able to say what he wants on his?
Yeah, but to come on and assassinate my character, for example, specifically, and then not let me on to defend myself when that is supported by the owner of the radio station locally, who has me banned for life from the station as a result of a confrontation that I had at his invitation with Roy Masters, whose name is not really Roy Masters. He lies about that as well.
It's Obermeister.
Yeah, Obermeister, meaning the overmaster. And that's what this guy is. This guy's a hypnotist by training. And he knows how to take the weakest among us and to get them to fall slavishly in line.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's a pretty amazing individual. We're investigating investigating his background because of the lawsuit.
Well, he's been on radio for 43 years, so there's certainly plenty of stuff on him. But there's no more woman-hating. You know what is interesting also about this MSNBC thing? I mean,
hang on just a second, Billy. We've got to wrap this up on this segment a bit. If you want to hang on, Billy, on the line, I'll bring you back after the break.
All right.
And, Michael, please hang on.
Sure.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time, that's Eastern Time, weekdays, for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Three
chicks came from Texas with a banjo and guitar and a fiddle that could make you cry or set your soul on fire. Their mamas taught them to speak up about what they thought was true, and they thought their country gave that right to them and me and you. Now one night back in England, one of these babes brought up a beef about how she wasn't too bewitched with her commander-in-chief. Some folks did not appreciate how she denounced their man. These patriots rolled up their sleeves and took matters in hand.
Let's meet all the Dixie Chicks. We're too nice to use rocks and sticks. So let's demolish their CDs with a bulldozer or whatever you please.
If this reminds you a little bit of the Tom Hartman Radio program.
Yeah, they're bashing the Dixie Chicks. They're and
cowboy, that just
there's
goes
folks upset with Michael Wiener, a.k.a. Michael Savage. But what's really what's the point that I was making, and Billy, I'm assuming you're still on there, and we've got Michael on the line, and we've got Frank on hold. So, Billy, I want you to wrap this up real quickly, but let me just make this one point. Oh, Billy's gone. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, you're getting him back
Hi,
on.
Hi, Tom.
Okay. Hey, Billy.
I pressed those buttons, buddy.
Yeah, we've lost Michael, but we'll have him back in just a second. The point that I was making here is that I think that as wrong as it is that they be slap-suiting Michael Stinson, or actually I think it was his wife that was sued, Julie Sigwart, and these other groups, similarly, you know, I think that he should have his right to speak about his opinion of Stinson, and without fear of lawsuit. Michael Stinson should have...
I agree with what
you're
about to say, Tom.
Yeah, okay, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're about to say is that we shouldn't ask them not to be on the air, right?
Well, and I'm saying that it's as wrong... I completely support the idea of boycotting Michael Wiener's show.
That's right, because that's a Democratic
show.
Action.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's outrageous that he would sue to try and stop somebody from doing that.
Well, see, that's the important part you need to get. I as a communicator, I also don't want to see anybody driven off the air by their bosses because, you know, we say so. But think about it. It's sort of interesting because the guys who run the Savage Show, who owns it? GE and Microsoft, the two biggest companies in the world. What is it about them that they're willing to take the most hateful man in the world and push him into our faces?
Well, I don't think that there's some grand conspiracy. I think that they're in it for the money, and they think that he'll do well. Billy, thank you for your comments. I appreciate your calling in. Michael Stinson is back on the line with us. He's still there, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one comment I'd like to make is, you know, he has freedom of speech, just like we do, but the freedom of his speech guarantees having 350 radio stations. I would like to have that freedom of speech as well.
Right, and I would say that, you know, if you can do good radio, you can get 350 stations in an ideal universe. Now we have not an ideal universe here at this moment, but beyond the talking back to the stations, I mean, there's this issue of do you have the right to say on your website that what he's saying is wrong? I think he should.
Well, he's doing the same thing to us that he claims we're doing to him, only he's using big bucks.
That's my point. Frank in Memphis, Tennessee, has called 1-800-TALK-YES to be on the program. Frank, welcome. Oh, he's gone? I'm sorry. We've lost Frank. Okay. Frank, give us a call back if you'd like. It was actually your wife who was sued, wasn't it, Mike Stinson?
Well, yeah. They came to the door and served papers on her instead of the company, as I mentioned before, which, you know, I think is kind of cheesy. The guy talks on the show. He screams about how he's not a pussy and he's going to fight these people and everything. Well, you know, my definition of a pussy is bringing a lawsuit against someone's wife instead of the company that made whatever comments they have problems with.
And do you think this is a publicity stunt?
Mr. Savage to come to my doorstep and tell me that.
Yeah, do you think that he's just trying to, yeah, I mean, I've heard his ratings aren't doing all that well. Do you think he's just trying to amp up the PR?
Well, you know, if you read the interview that we have on BuzzFlash.com about this, I was talking about his ratings according to Arbitron, I believe. If you go in and look up the ratings in all the major cities, it's like 0.0. I made the comment in the interview with BuzzFlash.com that there, at any given time, there's more people clipping their toenails in the United States than listening to this guy.
Right. Okay, Michael, can you hang on
sure.
over this break? We got about a two-minute break here, and Frank is back on the line from Memphis. We'll pick up your call, Frank, when we come right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's day 10 on the picket line for nearly 500 telephone repair workers in Kentucky with no end in sight. The Alltel Corporation bought its Kentucky operations from Verizon last year on the condition that the company honor all existing contracts, including its union's collective bargaining agreements. But two locals of the Communications Workers of America say the company hasn't lived up to its end of the bargain. They filed a complaint with the Kentucky Public Service Commission, as well as charges of bad faith bargaining with the National Labor Relations Board. A union spokesperson says Alltel wants to gut its health care obligations to retirees, increase health care rates, and wants free rein to hire outside contractors. No new talks are scheduled.
A national referendum to protect workers in Italy from unjust termination failed this week after less than half the electorate cast ballots on it. A general strike last year forced Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to drop plans to reform Italian labor law, making it easier for companies to fire workers. That backlash led to the referendum, but only 23.4% of eligible voters made it to the polls. This opens the door for Berlusconi to try again and weaken worker protections, but there's no indications yet he's ready to do that.
The Bush administration's quashing of safety regulations on a list of poisonous chemicals has labor groups accusing the White House of toxic politics. The regulations, which were first drafted during the Clinton administration, were supposed to have regulated the use of a range of chemicals that have been linked to a host of injuries and deaths among U.S. workers, including an explosion at a New Jersey plant that killed five in 1995. But recently, the Bush White House quietly shelved the proposal. According to the Center on Public Integrity, industry groups opposed to the plan gave Bush and Cheney more than $216,000 in the run-up to the 2000 presidential election.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk! Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werby, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werby, as we make plans to take back our country.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Michael Stinson of TakeBackTheMedia.com about his being sued by Michael Weiner, a.k.a. Michael Savage. Michael, let's move beyond that. I forgot Frank is on the line. We got Frank in Memphis, Tennessee. He's on a scratchy cell phone, and we dropped him, or he dropped the line, and he's back. So, Frank, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, what's your comment or question, Frank? Welcome to our radio home.
Very quickly, I'm a conservative. I think Michael Savage is an idiot, and he does more harm to our movement than good. I think this is really just a free speech issue. He's an idiot, but he can say what he wants to say, just as these people can also, as long as they're slandering him or doing something that's untruthful. The only thing, and the last point is, I really think we need to do away with these slap down lawsuits. They're horrible, and I especially don't like the way all the cities, the government, the NAACP, people like that are suing gun manufacturer harassment lawsuits for no other reason than just to put them out of business so they can usurp our Second Amendment rights. So I absolutely support any government that would outlaw harassment lawsuits.
Okay, well, that's the funny part. Michael Savage has his 10 points on his website, and one of them is kill all lawyers or get rid of all lawyers. But, of course, being the hypocrite he is, he's coming after us.
Yeah. Now, Michael, isn't – and Frank, thanks for your comment. I appreciate
thanks,
you calling in and taking the time to share that with us. Michael, isn't – I mean, you just called Michael Savage a hypocrite. Isn't – I mean, where does slander begin and just kind of dissing somebody end? I mean –
Well, the difference is he's a public figure, and public figures leave themselves wide open to that. You know, you can say whatever you want about these guys as long as you're not harming them. You want to talk about harming people, how about Rush Limbaugh and people like Michael Savage sending their people after people? You know, there's a reason Tom Daschle has a guard around him, because these people say things and get other people killed. We've had death threats because of what these guys have said.
Yeah, I've had death threats just for what I say on the radio. I mean, that's kind of comes with the territory.
Well, I mean, that's part of being a public person. I mean, that's where you get the big money.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we don't get the big money. We need donations to fight this guy. You know, I mean, these guys have
well,
the big
money. Let's talk about
money.
That. How are you fighting him, and how are you raising money for this, Michael?
Well, right now what we've got going is a donation. We're asking for donations on our site. We've talked to people for the American Way. The ACLU is talking about getting on board. The EFF people, the Electronic Foundation.
Freedom Foundation.
I talked to the one of the co-founders of that site. There's a lot of people coming on board. They want to stop this guy from harassing people like this. You know, I mean, this chilling of free speech by just suing everybody is the way it's going to go. The consolidation, this is just one effect of the consolidation, is all these guys are going to run around to sue everybody else, sue the dissent right out of the system. Right. And so much for democracy, big boys win.
Yeah, Michael, let's we're talking with Michael Stinson of TakeBackTheMedia.com. Michael, let's back up just a little bit before Michael Weiner came along and as Michael Savage or through his talk radio network sued you. And tell us just in short form, what is Take Back the Media? How did you guys get started? What's your mission?
Well, a couple of us animators on the web were dueling. I do flash animations. I've won awards in Hollywood for it. So we were doing political animations and dueling with each other. American Stranger is the other person. I'm called Symbol Man online. And I'm famous on a couple sites, Democratic Underground and BuzzFlash shows my work. We decided to form a site where we could put these political flash animations, and my wife came up with the idea to Take Back the Media, and so it just took off. We've got animations, we have action alerts, we've boycotted Rush Limbaugh. As a result of empowering people like this, I've been on the O'Reilly Show and MSNBC, and my partner and I were on MSNBC, and so vitriolic with Mr. Scarborough and Congressman Foley that they threatened to turn our microphones off. Now, that's what I'd call censorship.
Yeah, owning they the were station. Turning your microphones off. Why?
Because we're basically out-talking them and over-talking them and not letting them get a chance to put a word in edgewise about what scumbags we were. Basically, the issue was that Limbaugh had called the anti-war protesters Marxist and communist and anti-American, and since I enlisted in 1971 during Vietnam, I invited Mr. Limbaugh to show America his enlistment papers, but
he didn't like that. Yeah, he got out of the war because he had a boil on his butt, didn't he?
Well, I hope we can kick him out of business, too, because I'll tell you what, I'm not going to pay money to people that call me a Marxist, to their advertisers. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
This is a chance to fight back with these guys. You don't have to pay for abuse, and that's what this is. Don't pay money to their advertisers.
Yeah. And the flip side of that is to support the sites that you find of value, to support the advertisers of the shows that you find of value, hint. And
like your show.
Yeah, and to visit sites like TakeBackTheMedia.com and so forth. But I do think that it's important that we have a diversity of voices, and I think that what is happening here is that the opportunity of a diversity of voices is being chilled by this suit, and that's what troubles me so much about it.
And the smaller sites better get together and fight this, because like the old thing says, when they come and take away that guy, you might be next.
Right.
So okay, let's pull together and fight these guys.
Yep. Michael Stinson of TakeBackTheMedia.com. Michael, I agree with you. Thank you very much for being on the program, and thanks for sharing with us the struggle that you guys are fighting here.
Thank you for your struggle against
Thank
you guys.
Okay, moving along, I want to just share a little more information with you about slap suits. And if you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-TALK-YES. This may be a victory, although it may be a faint one. An appeals court has thrown out a 1996 libel verdict. Back in 94, Michael Moore, with his TV Nation program, ran a segment called Sludge Train, where they followed a load of sludge from a sewage plant in New York all the way to Texas, where this stuff got dumped on a ranch. And it was too toxic, you know, for New York. I mean, this was considered toxic waste, but somehow when it made its way to Texas, it was suddenly considered fertilizer. And this featured footage of the residents complaining about the smell, and EPA whistleblower Hugh Kaufman and calling this an illegal haul and dump operation, and pointing out that the people of Texas are being poisoned. And so the company that was hauling this stuff sued Kaufman and TV Nation and TriStar Television, and won a $5 million punitive judgment, decision. On appeal, that's been reversed, but we'll see where that goes. But this is what slap suits are all about. This whole thing of whacking people for speaking up. Thousands of slaps have been filed in the past two decades. Tens of thousands of Americans have been slapped, and still more have been muted or silenced by the thread, according to law professors George Pring and Penelope Kanan in their 1996 book, Slaps, Getting Sued for Speaking Out. Slap targets who fight back seldom lose in court, yet they are, this is I'm quoting from the book, yet are frequently devastated and depoliticized and discourage others from speaking out. This is chilling in the parlance of First Amendment commentary. They go on to say the longer the litigation can be stretched out, the closer the slap filer moves to success. And the New York State Supreme Court judge, Nicholas Calabella, says, quote, short of a gun to the head, a greater threat to First Amendment expression can scarcely be imagined. On the other hand, strangely, the PR industry is hyping slap suits. They're saying that they're a good thing. This guy, Tom Hold, he attended the Morton Blackwell Leadership Institute, where they teach conservative young students, college students, to crank out newspapers, right-wing newspapers on campuses to respond to the, quote, bias, liberal bias, end quote, in the campus newspapers. And he came out with a study saying that the lawsuits against the tobacco industry were creating a, quote, litigation superhighway where lawyers are the ones who will make the most money, end quote. Well, oddly, of course, he's right. I mean, the lawyers are making a pile of money on tobacco litigation. But that's not the issue. The issue is, are people being harmed? And if the lawsuits are the only means, I mean, if Congress is too gutless to do anything about it, if our elected representatives will not defend the health and welfare of people in the United States because they're getting so much money from this industry, because they are receiving these bribes. I mean, look at Roy Blount, this scandal that's brewing with Roy Blount, the right-wing Republican congressman who took a pile of money, as I recall it was $100,000, from the tobacco industry for him and for causes that he is close to, and in exchange for that has been manipulating legislation on the sly. And it was just outed about this last week in the New York Times. We talked about this last week. I mean, this kind of stuff is going on. And so into this fray step attorneys and say, no, we're not going, you know, this isn't going to happen. We're going to stop this. We're going to stop it by applying financial pressure to these corporations. And, of course, the attorneys make money on it. And the Democrats seem to be supporting this because it appears that this is the only way to get some of these agendas passed. Now, you know, Frank, our caller who was concerned about gun legislation and gun rights, you know, is this the right way to do things? I'm not sure, but it certainly doesn't seem the right, you know, like the legislators should be involved in this. But in any case, instead of, you know, lawyers having to jump in, but the system is as it is at the moment. So we've got this situation where these hard-to-sue corporations, that is, you know, I mean, they've got a pile of money, they can defend themselves forever, are going after individuals and just trying to wipe them out. Holt, the guy that I was quoting earlier, he says, quote, the consumer movement has imposed significant costs on industry, costs ultimately passed on to consumers, and has violated individual freedoms in a futile effort to protect us from our own actions and judgments. Now, here he's arguing that there shouldn't be lawsuits against tobacco companies. But on the other hand, he's calling for new laws so that corporations can more effectively sue, chastise, and punish their enemies. In another article, he says, can lawsuits be the cure for junk science? So it's like trying to have it both ways. You got the tax-exempt Animal Industry Foundation, which is put together with a who's who of the meat industry lobby. They have put forth legislation which has been passed in 13 states now. Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Texas have passed laws where if you libel a vegetable, you can get nailed. This happened to Oprah Winfrey when she said that she was not going to eat hamburger anymore after having a guest on her program who was talking about the health safety standards and the problems with hamburgers. And she got sued in Texas. And this trade association that says they, according to them, quote, National Trade Association representing the manufacturers of more than 70% of the primary formula livestock and poultry feed sold annually, end quote, in the United States. And they go on to say, and I quote, animal rights activists threaten the survival of today's farmers and ranchers. It's time to fight back. Through advertising, elementary school programs, publications and video, news media, outreach, and public opinion research. And, of course, through lawsuits. Through shutting down people in who are speaking out. In Baltimore, this is from a PRWatch.org article. In Baltimore, members of a local community group faced a $52 million lawsuit after circulating a letter questioning the property buying practices of a local housing developer. In West Virginia, an environmental activist faced a $200,000 lawsuit for criticizing a coal mining company's activities that were poisoning a local river. In Pennsylvania, a farmer was sued after testifying to his township supervisors that a low-flying helicopter owned by a local landfill operator caused a stampede that killed several of his cows. In Washington State, a homeowner found that she couldn't get a mortgage because her real estate company had failed to pay taxes owed on her house. She uncovered hundreds of similar cases, and the company was forced to pay back taxes in the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. In retaliation, this mortgage company dragged her through 6 years of legal harassment before a jury finally found her innocent of slander. In Rhode Island, a resident of North Kingston wrote a letter complaining about contamination of the local drinking water from a nearby landfill and spent the next 5 years defending herself against the landfill owner's attorneys who charged her with defamation and interference with prospective business contracts. In South Carolina, an animal rights activist was sued for $4 million for writing a letter to an obscure research journal protesting an Austrian company's plans to use chimpanzees in hepatitis research. And in Missouri, a high school English teacher was hit with a $1 million libel suit after complaining to a weekly newspaper that an incinerator burning hospital waste was a health hazard. Now, as Michael Stinson of TakeBackTheMedia.com pointed out, a lot of these kind of lawsuits are now illegal in California. California has passed anti-slap suit legislation. That is not true of Illinois, not true of a lot of other venues, and so this stuff is still going on, and it's going on, and it's wrecking democracy. It's wrecking free speech in the United States. Are the corporations out of control? In my opinion, yes, I think it certainly seems that way. Let me share with you some of the responses we've gotten to our programs in the last couple of days. In particular, yesterday, From time to time, I am going to have on this show conservative guests, and I think it's really important that we hear both sides and that we have an opportunity to hear them and to speak back to them. And I was concerned yesterday when a couple of the callers into our program responded to our guest by attacking her personally. This is called ad hominem attacks, and it's just not right. It harms discourse. It harms the perception of your cause and mine. And it doesn't further anything positive. I'm in the future, if anybody calls and starts going after any of my guests on a personal basis, we're just going to chop them off. Just let you know. I mean, this is just, you know, we've got to have civility here at some level. I mean, I'm all in favor of controversy and all that stuff, but you know. Anyhow, so one, Eric sent me an email. He said, wish you the best of the radio program. You're doing a great job. One of the aspects I found most interesting is your periodic hosting of conservative and neoconservative guests and your ability to nurture their calm discourse on a liberal show. Quite unusual, and it seems to work both for liberal listeners and those of different perspectives. And that's what we're trying to do here, is have a broad range of perspectives. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program, Talk Radio for the Rest of Us. Stick around. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah!
Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. And we have Mac on the line in Santa Fe. Hey, Mac, welcome back to the program. Good to hear from you.
Well, I've been listening and... I've been listening to Mr. Now, is his name spelled W-E-I-N-E-R?
Yes.
Well, I think maybe it should be pronounced Viner.
Viner,
Michael,
okay.
Viner. W-E-I-N-E-R is the pronunciation if it's a German background.
Yeah.
And, you know... I've listened to him for quite a few months now, and I believe that we ought to think that his brilliant intelligence and great compassion for everybody is surpassed only by his profound modesty.
I take it you're being sarcastic.
Oh, heavens, no, I wouldn't think of it. But I do believe that... maybe we're giving him too much publicity.
I
think that I listen to Rush Limbaugh and all the other right-wingers, and I think that compared to Dr. Viner, I think that what was his name? Traitor back in the Revolutionary War, Benedict Arnold.
Benedict Arnold, yes.
I think he comes off as a scoutmaster.
Hmm.
Anyway, this is my opinion, and I wouldn't want to be too angry or nasty about Dr. Viner, because I might get sued.
Okay. Thank you, Mac.
So,
I appreciate your call.
Keep up the good work, huh?
Thanks, Mac. I'll do it. Jeff in Denver is on the line. Jeff, we only have about 30, 40 seconds left here. Fire away. Oh, actually. Hey, Jeff, we just there goes the music. This is the end of this hour, but I'll pick you up right after the top of the hour if you'll stick around. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they, the transnational corporation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From those nads in Tiananmen Square, it's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
The Peter
Dr. Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. An Iraqi Shiite group today is urging an end to attacks on U.S. forces in that country. The deputy head of the Iranian-backed Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution says the group doesn't approve of such terrorist acts. He told a pan-Arabic newspaper there have been no religious edicts from any scholars within Iraq itself for those attacks because they can create additional problems. He stressed, quote, "We must seek to end the occupation peacefully." A new report from the General Accounting Office says thousands of radioactive devices and containers filled with nuclear materials are missing around the globe. That report also says almost a third of those lost or stolen items are never recovered. A story from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
To make a dirty bomb, a terrorist needs a source of radioactivity. According to the U.S. General Accounting Office, thousands of the 10 million or so sources of radioactivity, often used in medical equipment or other research, have gone missing, lost, stolen, or abandoned, many from the former Soviet Union. The report warns more needs to be done to make sure radioactive sources do not end up in the wrong hands, especially for less developed nations where security is weakest. The American accountants want the U.S. Department of Energy to take the lead in helping other nations secure their nuclear materials, especially to provide financial help. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
There's word this afternoon an Arizona Roman Catholic bishop charged in a fatal hit-and-run accident has now stepped down from his post. We have that story from correspondent Don Nietzsche.
The Vatican confirms the Pope has accepted the resignation of Phoenix Bishop Thomas O'Brien under a norm that says bishops should offer their resignations if they cannot do their duties for serious reasons. O'Brien was charged earlier this week with leaving the scene of an accident that killed a pedestrian. A prosecutor has asked investigators to reconstruct the hours before the crash to see if alcohol may have been a factor. 2 weeks ago, O'Brien signed an agreement to avoid prosecution over his handling of Phoenix area priests accused of sex abuse. Don Nietzsche, Phoenix.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me.
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Afghanistan's fledgling government has announced it will begin disarming tens of thousands of fighters next month in an effort to boost security throughout the war-ravaged country. The goal of the nationwide program will be to disarm about 100,000 men. It's believed, however, that could take up to 3 years to finish. A bounty hunter's wife says her husband has captured Max Factor heir and fugitive Andrew Luster in Mexico. Luster was convicted on dozens of counts of raping and drugging several women. He was sentenced to more than 100 years in prison but managed to flee after putting up $1 million bond.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
the moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Researchers are warning parents the nation is, in their words, losing the battle for the hearts and minds of its young people. Lisa Romanello has more on the fourth annual report on Internet hate and terrorism.
They're hidden in chat groups and lurking behind Dr. Seuss rhymes. Thousands of sites recruiting and fundraising for terrorists and luring children into hate.
Many adults will be shocked by what's in this report. I guarantee if you have an online user who's 15 years old or younger, they can take you to many of these sites directly. They know all about it.
Rabbi Abraham Cooper of the Simon Wiesenthal Center says from one hate site in 1995 sprung 4,000 problematic sites, and he urges parents, teachers, kids, and law enforcement to keep their eyes wide open. Lisa Romanello at City Hall in New York.
And the Canadian government is moving ahead with plans to legalize gay marriages. Officials have decided now not to appeal an Ontario court decision allowing the unions. The government says it will now draft legislation and go ahead and ask the Canadian Supreme Court to rule on its constitutionality. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome to our program today, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, and broadcasting live on the Internet from IEAmerica.com and RadioPower.org. This is the Tom Hartman program. Shelby at RadioPower.org, in fact, had dropped us a note. Oh, well, let me get to that in just a second. Jeff in Denver has been patiently waiting on the line. Jeff, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Regarding the treatment of guests, or actually generally the treatment of people with different views, I think we need to all ask ourselves, is what is our basic purpose? Are we trying to alienate them, or are we trying to bring them around to what we consider a decent view? And so, yeah. I don't believe in attack. Sure, kick butt to get your attention, but then, you know, use the Socratic method. Fight fire with water.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah. Ask questions. Let them destroy their own arguments. If you ask questions, most people's arguments will fall apart within 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Excellent point, Jeff.
Yeah, we don't need to attack. It doesn't serve any purpose except to alienate. And so if you're there to bring people in, bring them in. Have you ever changed your mind because someone called you an idiot and yelled at you?
Never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. I don't think it, you know. I think that if anything, the woman that we had on yesterday, Karina, probably felt more entrenched in her position by the end of the hour than she did when she began.
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. If you attack people, they can't even help their emotional reaction in most cases.
Right. Right.
Feel so you're just going to you're going to entrench people more. So let's bring people over to our side. Let's not give them a chance to punch us.
I'm with you, Jeff. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate your calling in.
Take care.
Shelby from radiopower.org, relevant to the topic of yesterday's first hour, said wrote the following email, which I think is makes a really interesting point. And this we were trying to do a show on this yesterday. We kind of got off track. But Shelby says, the idea of balance in the media is an outdated concept that applied back when there were only three TV networks, a few radio networks, and a few newspapers available to a person in any given market. Today we have hundreds, if not thousands, of news media outlets. Therefore, the old notion that media must be fair and balanced is outdated. There should be media outlets that are known to be liberal, known to be conservative, and known to be moderate. The way that people can access them and get the liberal, conservative, or moderate view. Then the individual person can determine where their opinions fall. And here, this is the logical bit of this is the scalpel that Shelby brings to this. The old fair and balanced model basically discharges the citizen's responsibility to hear all sides before making an opinion. Essentially, the news source decides what represents the left or the right, and is a product of days gone by when there simply was not enough news to dedicate, or not enough news outlets, news sources, to dedicate one source to the left and another to the right. Today, we have thousands of media outlets available to the citizen, and therefore the truth would be better served by dividing the media outlets into liberal, conservative, and moderate bias, or letting them self-divide, I would add, then allowing the viewer to seek out the coverage they want to see, hear, or read. This gives them the ability to make up their own decisions, make up their own mind in topics and politics. Thank you, Shelby. Excellent, excellent point. Also to that, another person wrote in, let me first say I enjoy your show and plan to read your book on equal protection. I was listening to your show today regarding whether or not the media is liberal biased. I listened because I agree with the ideologies being presented. I found it ironic that even though your callers were bashing Karina Rollins into the corner, they didn't really verbally address the topic of liberal bias in the media. However, the liberal bias was clearly represented by their comments against your guest. I have to say that your callers were hypocrites. When they didn't like what they were hearing, they tried to shut your guest down. Your callers failed to empathize with the emotions Mrs. Rollins may have been being bombarded by strangers who didn't know you, Your callers also failed to acknowledge her right to an opinion. Where is the sense of liberalism? The very freedoms we strived for failed to exist in the liberal forum. Thanks for reading. I'll keep on listening. Peace. And this is from Bob in Denver. And Bob, thank you for your comments. I think that there were some folks who made some very good points, some callers yesterday. I think we focus on either side of this and exclude the other at our peril. Heather of the Libertarian Party of Tennessee wrote, I believe Thomas Jefferson's philosophies are more in line with the Libertarian Party than the modern-day Democrats, responding to the op-ed I have on Common Dreams this week. We're going to talk with somebody from the Libertarians tomorrow. We'll get into that. It should be an interesting conversation. We've got a couple of more messages here. Interesting news in today's news. Hopefully we'll be able to get to that by the end of the hour. If not, we can certainly get back to the stuff tomorrow. The question for this hour, our quote, by the way, for the day, Ralph Nader's students, he said, if you don't turn on to politics, politics is going to turn on you. That's a lesson you may learn the hard way. Our question for the hour, can Dennis Kucinich become president? Our guest is Lila Garrett of the California Kucinich Campaign. And Lila, welcome to the Tom Harpin program.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks. Lila, have we met before, by the way? Did we meet at Tree Media, or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, you could be thinking of me. I've been to Tree Media many times.
I was there the night Leonardo DiCaprio was there.
You're thinking of Lila Peterson, who owns.
Oh yeah, okay. Yes, you're right. Thank you.
I wish that were me.
Yeah, she's great too. Well, Lila, welcome to the program, and it's nice to meet you. Now,
thank you very much.
Tell us about your participation in the Kucinich campaign.
Well, I am the Southern California chair of the Kucinich campaign. And I met Dennis Kucinich several years ago when I was president of Southern California Americans for Democratic Action. And we had a Take Back America conference. And at that conference, we had Jesse Jackson Jr. and Warren Beatty and Rob Reiner and many progressive speakers. And we also invited Dennis Kucinich. I didn't even know him then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was up against some really major speakers, as you can tell from the list I just gave you.
Sure.
And he got up there, and he mesmerized that crowd. He wrote a speech called Prayer for America. And in it,
mm-hmm,
he threw down the gauntlet that challenged George Bush. We're talking about 3 years ago. Nobody was doing it then.
Yeah.
And he really called him to task. He accused him of trying to create war with Iraq and with other minor countries, even then. And I thought, you know, this is a man to be watched. And I did watch him, and I went to Washington. I saw the way he legislated, the way how effective he was as a congressperson, how incredible he was as chair of the Progressive Caucus. And I said, you know, this man is a progressive and a peace person in his gut, and I'm going to support him. And that's how I met him.
And that's what you're doing. Lila, yes. We're talking to Lila Garrett of the Southern California Kucinich campaign, if I'm defining that correctly, Lila. And one of the questions, it's funny, I've mentioned Kucinich many times on the air, and Kucinich and Dean seem to be kind of the potentially viable candidates on the left of the Democratic spectrum, I think. And I get strange responses from people in email. Sometimes people, or in our chat room, sometimes people, you know, jump down my throat and say that I'm not being enough of an enthusiast for him or for Howard Dean. Other times people say, how can you promote his candidacy? He has hair in his face. He's the only candidate who, you know, no president in history has ever had hair in his face. This guy it's not possible that he could win. He's going to be a McGovern. He's going to take us down. What is bringing about this polarity? I mean, it's like people either love him or they're very worried.
Yeah.
First
of all, let's address the hair on his face, because he really did have a terrible haircut. And he has had a new haircut, and he looks great. He looks great. So to whoever said that, you know, console them by telling them that that he no longer has hair on his face.
Okay.
He has a much more conventional haircut. And one of my daughters said, gee, he's cute. So the younger generation finds him very attractive.
Yeah.
And why aren't you more enthusiastic? Well, I don't know why, but I'm enormously enthusiastic. You know, we're in the habit of considering the front runners based on how much money they've collected, and that's realistic, because we haven't been able to enact campaign finance reform. Or the public financing of campaigns, which is, of course, the only democratic way. And as long as we have this kind of system where we take private money, a private interest will continue to control the country. Of course, you know that. In Dennis's case, we have raised just about $1 million, which is kind of remarkable, because when you look, for example, at what Kerry has raised and Edwards and even Dean, you're looking at the coffers of three very rich men. And the United States Supreme Court has said that money is the equivalent of free speech. That means
that
every candidate can invest his own money, his or her own money, in his campaign. So we don't know how much of, for example, Kerry's $8 million is really his own. Or, Edwards' $7 million, you know. We don't know how much of that really comes out of their own pockets. But we do know that none of Dennis's money comes out of his own pocket, because he is not a rich man. He is really a man of the people. But he gets larger crowds and a more enthusiastic response than any of the other candidates. I mean, it isn't even close.
Yeah, it's interesting. A friend of mine, Rob Call, who's the publisher of opednews.com on the internet, went to the what was it called? This thing in Washington D.C. a couple of weeks ago. I want to say Take Back America or something, but
right. That was the Bob Borisov event,
right.
Isn't that so? The campaign for America's future.
Campaign for America, yes. And, right. And Rob heard all of the speakers, and he came back and he said, Dennis Kucinich was electrifying. He said, you know, Howard Dean and all the others, he said, they were pale compared to Dennis Kucinich. He said, this guy can just whip a crowd out. He's brilliant as a speaker. And it was the first time, frankly, that I had heard that. You know, I've heard people say, oh, his speeches are great, and I've read several of his speeches and thought very well of them. But Rob was saying, hey, this guy has the potential to be a really serious national candidate.
That's right. He's right.
Well,
Dennis, you know, he doesn't whip the crowd out up with tricks. He whips the crowd out up with his programs, which are their programs, which are the programs of the people. He is the one candidate who is absolutely firm and resolute about maintaining the people's programs. You even see Dean now start to waffle on the privatization, for example, of Social Security. Dennis is firmly in favor of these being social programs run by the government.
Right.
Let me ask you to pause right there.
We've got a commercial break coming up.
Okay. I'm having trouble hearing you, so...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll try to speak a little louder. Maybe our board operator can turn up my volume to you. But,
that would be great.
Yeah, great. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Hang on there, Lila. And if anybody would like to call in and has a question for Lila Garrett, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. It's the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The following conversation is real. It took place on January 14th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar emergency.
Hi, yes, I just pulled over to the side of the road. I keep feeling like I'm passing out.
Okay, do you need emergency service to see a location?
Just for somebody to come and check me out.
Okay, let me ask you to hold for a moment while we get help on the line for you.
Providence 316.
Hi, my name is Gaith. I'm calling from OnStar. I have a subscriber calling in saying that she's feeling ill.
In an emergency, OnStar can pinpoint your location and quickly call for help.
Would you like me to stay online until help arrives?
Yeah, I just got a little nervous because I feel myself dozing off again.
Right, understandably so.
If you're already an OnStar subscriber, it's easy to maintain the safety and security you already enjoy for only $16.95 a month. Simply press the blue OnStar button and tell the advisor you'd like to renew. To learn more, visit OnStar.com.
Is that them? Have they arrived now, Ms. Adora?
They have.
All right, thank you for using OnStar. Please know we're here whenever you need us.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Lila Garrett. She's the president of Southern California Americans for Democratic Action, is a vital force behind the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, also has her own weekly TV show on Adelphia Cable. Currently, she's the chair for the Dennis Kucinich campaign in California and is a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, having won that seat as a supporter of Bill Bradley. She was a Dukakis delegate in 1998. And Lila, in our chat room, we've got a bunch of folks talking, and a couple of them are like, you know, what's this hair in the face stuff? Let's talk about some real issues here.
That's
Let's
right.
get into some of the real issues.
Right.
What about, for example, this tax cut stuff that's going on?
Well,
where does Dennis stand
on this? Dennis Kucinich is a classic progressive. He opposes a tax cut because, of course, it favors the rich. And the Bush administration is determined to squeeze us until we have a two-class society. What they want to do is get rid of the middle class. This is no mystery. They've been trying it for years, you know.
What's the upside of that?
What they want
that,
is the powerful rich and the working slaves. So the tax cut is another step in that direction. Dennis, of course, opposes it. But I would love to talk about his other positions.
Yes, we have enough time to go through several of them here.
Okay, and I do want to tell your listeners that MoveOn.org is having the most fascinating primary now. Are you familiar with this?
I am. I have voted in it.
Oh, good. Well, should I ask you who you voted for?
I voted for Howard Dean.
Oh, you did. Pity we didn't talk first. You know?
It is.
Because in the straw poll, the three candidates who came out on top were Dennis Kucinich, Howard Dean, and John Kerry. And the contest, as far as MoveOn is concerned, is between them. Of the three, the only real progressive is Dennis.
Well, I have to tell you, Lila, my bias stems in part from the fact that I'm broadcasting from Vermont. I've lived here for years. I watched Howard Dean as our governor, and I think well of him. It's not that I thought poorly of anybody else. Any of these guys, I would vote for in a heartbeat if they were running against George Bush.
Well, you know, there is a group that believes ABB, anybody but Bush. I mean, there is a group. And I can't say that I totally disagree with them. But since we are now in the situation of having an embarrassment of riches, that is to say, nine candidates to choose from, I do want to tell you listeners about Dennis. First of all, of all the candidates that are now running, Dennis was the first to speak out against the war. I've heard Dean say several times that he voted against the war. I can't imagine where that was unless it was in his living room.
Yeah, I don't think he voted against it. He opposed it.
Yes, but no, he actually said voted against it. Of course, I know that he opposed it.
He doesn't have a venue to vote.
But of course not. But yeah. Dennis not only voted against the war, but I was in Washington at the time when only five Democratic congresspeople were against the war. And Dennis, who was the co-chair of the Progressive Caucus, turned that number in 3 weeks into 126 Democrats. And when I say that he was the leader who did this, without him it wouldn't have happened, I have the agreement of almost everybody in the Congress. They watched mm-hmm. him do it. He's been thanked on the air by Maxine Waters, by Diane Watson, by Charles Rangel. I've never seen a legislator work so efficiently, so earnestly, and with such determination in my life. And that's when I really decided to join the campaign. He is the only candidate, for example, who has plans for really universal health care through Medicare for All. Dennis Kucinich says, very bluntly, something that we all basically know, and that is, as long as there is corporate profit in health care, we will never have universal health care.
Oh, yeah. I've been talking about that on this program for months.
Well, you're absolutely right. So we can stop deluding ourselves. The reason that we get so confused with these convoluted plans that we hear from Gephardt and from Kerry and even from Dean is because they make no sense. As long as they're trying to incorporate the
for-profit part in there.
That's Lila, right. There will never be universal health care. Dennis,
Lila, we have a break coming up right now. If you can hang on for just a minute, we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. We're here with talking with Lila Garrett of the Kucinich Campaign, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The mud beneath coastal waters is a living factory and a key to restoring the nearshore environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Excess nutrients in coastal waterways upset the balance in marine ecosystems. The main culprit is nitrogen, which people use as fertilizer. Nitrogen runoff in the United States has doubled the amount that enters marine ecosystems.
Nitrogen is a plant food and plants are fish food, so it should be potentially a positive thing to have more nitrogen in the marine environment. But for a variety of reasons, too much nitrogen produces too much plant growth. It ends up depleting the oxygen in the water and having a lot of harmful effects.
That's Ann Giblin, a biochemist at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Giblin studies underwater soils that filter out nitrogen and release it as a harmless gas. She works in estuaries where rivers flow into the ocean.
The process we're studying is called denitrification, and it's a process carried out by bacteria, and these bacteria live in the mud, and they take the nitrogen that's in a chemical form as fertilizer that you and I would put on our gardens, and they use it in a different way, and they convert it into nitrogen gas, which most plants don't use.
Giblin monitors bacterial activity in estuaries along the coast of Massachusetts, where rivers feed into Boston Harbor and Plum Island Sound. She compares the rates at which different estuaries remove nitrogen from their waters.
And by knowing which estuaries are more effective at nitrogen removal and what's controlling, might be able to at least make predictions about whether land use change in one area is apt to have a greater effect than in another area.
Giblin's work will help identify areas that could benefit most from land use strategies and treatment systems to remove the excess nutrients. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Julene Jordan from The Peter Werby Show, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern every weekday on the IE America Radio Network. It is our mission each and every day to inform and educate you, the audience, about progressive news and views. The Peter Werby Show is your source for left-of-center information, and we have a little bit of fun along the way as well. Tune in weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. You can also listen live at www.ieamericaradio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars, I'm a new judge, turn back, they've all come to look for America.
Help me, you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Lila Garrett of the Kucinich campaign in California. And Lila, a couple of folks in our chat room, one said, you guys are talking about opinions. Let's get down to some facts. And you yourself had suggested, let's deal with some of these issues. Bang, bang, bang. Let's go right through them. To start out with, one of the other things that people have tossed back at me whenever I've talked about Kucinich on the air is his position on abortion.
Yes, let me clarify that for our listeners? Yes. Well, there was a time when he was against abortion. Dennis is a very life-affirming person. He has always been for family planning. He's always been for sex education. He's always been for all the programs which would avoid abortion, and he has always opposed the criminalization of abortion or making Roe versus Wade unconstitutional. He has always opposed that. But he's been listening to the women in his life, and he's watching this administration determined to criminalize abortion. And he has evolved on this subject. And typical of Dennis, once he takes a position, he acts on it. He's the only candidate who says that he would make the support of Roe versus Wade a litmus test for judges. He's the only candidate who's saying that he would fund abortions for women who cannot afford them. And Gore and Jesse Jackson. But it does happen that people do evolve on these, thoughtful people do. And when they do, I write it. It's just part of his great intellect that he was able to move on that. But
yeah,
he has
the critique is that those other folks changed their positions years ago, and he changed his when he decided to run for president. How does
that's
he
not really true.
He's
been evolving on this subject for a very, very long time. And if you read the speech he just made on the floor of the Congress against the banning of late-term abortion, you'll see how passionately he has embraced this this position. I can't answer those people who are skeptical about his change. The important thing to me is that he has changed his position and has come up with programs indicating that change. And if they look at his website, Kucinich.us, that's KUCINICH.US, you know, you'll find out more about his position on abortion. But I want to tell you more about his other positions.
Good.
He's the only candidate who's pledged that if he's elected, he'll bring the retirement age back to 65. Instead of allowing it to creep up, it will soon be 70. And he's the only candidate who has been big enough to take on NAFTA and the WTO. As you know, it's because of NAFTA that our manufacturing has left the country under Reagan. Large corporations were offered a tax break for taking their factories and their plants out of the country, as appalling as that may sound.
Yeah,
and the
that
Congress
was pre-NAFTA.
Let them get away with it. Well, yeah. Dennis has pledged that upon election he will cancel NAFTA, which of course is an anti-labor, anti-union act, and the World Trade Organization, the WTO, that encourages slave labor and child labor abroad. And again, is very damaging to our union movement here, and that he will close the notorious training ground for torturers, the School of the America.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, he is the only candidate who remains unalterably opposed to Bush's policy of permanent war, and he talks about it. What the other Democratic candidates would love to do is sweep some of these issues under the rug. Dennis won't allow it. He keeps these issues on the table. This administration has a policy which is so grotesque that most people don't accept it. They simply will not focus on it. This administration has a policy of permanent war. We've had...
Oh, yeah, and they said it. I mean, right after 9/11.
That's right. They've said it, and people still deny it. We have had a policy of a permanent war economy since Harry Truman, I regret to say. And it's more accelerated and exacerbated at this point than it's ever been. Dennis Kucinich nails that. And he said that we have got to stop this policy of permanent war.
Yes, I agree. Lila Garrett, we're speaking with. She's the president of Southern California's Southern California Americans for Democratic Action.
I'm the former president.
Former president.
Yes, I
see. Thank you. And she's the chair of the Dennis Kucinich campaign in Southern California. If you'd like to be on the program today and talk with Lila, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Lila, Joe in Brookings, Oregon, is on the line. He has a comment or question. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, well, I'm a member of the Green Party, proudly voted for Ralph Nader the last two times around. I'm supporting Kucinich this time around, but the guest talks about Kucinich evolving on the abortion issue. I'm afraid I don't think he would have evolved on the abortion issue. Most of the Democratic Party wasn't pro-choice, and about a year ago, a Kaffa Pollitt in the Nation magazine was rapping Dennis Kucinich on the knuckles for his position on the abortion issue. And then right after Dennis Kucinich announces for president, she starts praising him. So I think there was some kind of a change on the abortion issue there.
What's wrong with that, Joe?
I think there's plenty wrong with that. I think it was a capitulation to get votes. I think it was just good enough for Dennis Kucinich to come out and say, you know, hey, no, I will not overturn Roe v. Wade. And I think that's all he had to say.
Well, okay. You know, I know Dennis very well. He's really become a close friend. And he doesn't capitulate. Let me give you an example of that. You know, when someone who's in Congress runs for president, they have to miss votes in order to campaign. Dennis Kucinich refuses to miss votes. It drives us, his staff, completely crazy, I have to admit. He simply will not miss votes. He will only campaign on weekends. And, of course, during the summer, he can campaign, you know, for the entire week because the Congress is off. But, you know, when you say to him, Dennis, this or that event is such a tremendous chance for you to break ground, to get money, to whatever, he says, no, first I've got to do my job. It's my job. That's what I was hired for. He is a person of more character. He's incapable of capitulating. I wish he were more capable of it at times. But, you know, I'm not going to argue with people who question his reasons for changing his mind. I'm very happy that he has changed his mind. The one thing he has never changed his mind about is his position on peace. He's introduced into the Congress a Department of Peace. He immediately got 47 co-sponsors, including some top Democrats like Charles Rangel, to the Department of Peace being added as a cabinet.
Now, interestingly, Lila, this is one of the areas where people and by the way, I want to thank Joe for calling and
yes,
for his comment.
Course.
Just, you know, we appreciate all our callers and thank you, Joe. This is one of the areas where I've gotten response from people, both on the air and in email and in our chat room and on our bulletin board, about that Dennis Kucinich's Department of Peace could be in the same category as Michael Dukakis's Helmet in the Tank video, something that would be easily ridiculed by the Republicans, and that they would use to characterize him as somebody who doesn't understand the realities of a hostile world and all this kind of thing. Do you think that this is going to create a vulnerability for him?
You know, I don't know, and I think Dennis does not care. He's doing what he feels has to be done.
But if he's running for president, doesn't he have to care?
Yes. No, he doesn't have to care. He has to care about introducing the kinds of resolutions that we desperately need in this country. We have a Department of War that runs the country. We have a $400 billion defense budget that is destroying all of our domestic programs. And in another 2 years, it will be $500 billion. We have a Department of War which really is beginning to identify what is the United States. We have a greater war budget than the rest of the world put together. It's disgraceful that a democracy even needs a Department of Peace. But we seem to have to learn how to negotiate our way out of problems rather than slaughtering our way out of problems. So, no, I don't think he worries about that. He doesn't negotiate with himself. He does what
Lila,
he believes is right.
I have a quote here from Dennis, and I'd like to share it. I think that this is absolutely marvelous, and Dennis said, this October, or last October, this Congress voted to give the president the authority to use force against Iraq to thwart an imminent threat from Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. The administration urged action against an imminent threat, so Congress voted only weeks before the 2002 election. Some Democrats voted for it, thinking there would be an opportunity to refocus on domestic issues. Instead, national security and Iraq's so-called imminent threat became divisive issues in the campaign. The question became, who was patriotic and who wasn't? The administration capitalized on the fear of Americans. They misrepresented the nature of the Iraqi threat. They misled Congress. They misled the American people. By pushing for a quick vote before the election, they changed the election and manipulated its outcome. This is completely consistent with George Bush's father's manipulation of the Reagan-Carter thing with his October surprise with the Iranian hostages. Are you not expecting that this guy, that George Bush, will pull another October surprise out of the hat, that we would have, you know, some kind of disaster
of
coming up?
I expect him to do all of that. But I do want to tell your audience, if they're interested in voting for Dennis, log on to moveon.org before June 24th and participate in this wonderful primary. It's an opportunity to, you know, to really vote, to really be heard without a fixed election, because heaven only knows what the election is going to be like by the time we get there, you know, with the new election machines and so on.
Right.
So this is your chance to log on to moveon.org.
Moveon.org and register your vote.
And Lyle log on to Dennis's website so you can, you know, you can learn about his position.
Which is Kucinich.us.
We don't have time to talk about now.
Right.
And that's Kucinich.us.
Yeah, we always
know, Tom, I'd appreciate it if you would tell your audience that Dennis has introduced a resolution demanding that the Bush administration give evidence of where they got the notion of weapons of mass destruction that entitled them to bomb those people in Iraq. He's demanding that Bush confess what are the real reasons for our going to war. He's the only person that's doing that in the Congress.
So, Lila, why doesn't America know about that?
Well, one of the reasons is that we don't have enough programs like yours. Now, you know that the media is up for grabs. The right wing is closing every door of communication it possibly can. I mean, it's got the Patriot Bill, which will deprive us of all of our freedoms, and if they're reelected, we can look at this country as nostalgia, our democracy as nostalgia. Because, you know, in a matter of weeks, it can be gone. That's what the Patriot Bill does. It means they can arrest us, they can come in, break into our homes without a warrant, they can throw us in jail without telling us why, we have no right to a lawyer. I mean, if that event ever occurs, if Bush is reelected, that's what we can expect. Why don't we know about Dennis Kucinich? Because the press and the media are corporately owned. I have been writing television and producing it for 40 years. I've won two Emmys and the Writers Guild Award. You know, I was a major professional before I retired. And I have never seen it like this. I don't know how censorship can be more confining than it is now. You can talk about anything you want to on television except liberal politics.
Or
on all of the
dominance.
Shows that people see, for example, if they just remember them. You know, you can talk about sex, you can be more than explicit, you can use the worst kind of language. But if you try to talk about liberal politics, you're in trouble. That's when you hear from the networks. And the corporate ownership of what should be ours, and that is the airtime, television and radio, belongs to the people.
Well, you've got these enormous pressure groups on the right, you know, TimesWatch.org and others, the CRM, as I recall.
Yeah, but it's more than pressure groups. They own the airwaves. They own the airwaves. And with this new FCC ruling, which entitles them to own 45%, one company to own 45% of the airwaves in the area, you know, we are really going to have no free access at all.
And
so
what would Dennis Kucinich do
about
that,
Kucinich.
Lila? What would Dennis Kucinich do about that, Lila?
Well, he's, of course, opposed to it. He believes in the public ownership of the airwaves. And he also believes that the amount of, well, you can't totally turn back a corporate ownership in a day, but you can limit it instead
you can do
their,
it very quickly. I mean, look at how they broke up AT&T. I mean,
exactly.
Do you think that he would roll back the Telecommunications Act of 1996?
Exactly. Colin Powell's son, who was extremely right-wing, is the head of the FCC, and he's encouraging this new rule that one corporation can own, one owner can own 45%.
He's not encouraging it. He just passed it. I mean, this is a done deal unless Congress acts.
Would insist that they own more like 15%. Obviously,
right? Why not 1%? Why not that you can have one corporation own one piece of media?
Exactly. Why any percent? Those airwaves really belong to the people. The important thing for people to realize, Tom, is that we believe that Dennis can win. His will be a guerrilla campaign. It's a real grassroots campaign. The others are calling themselves grassroots. They really aren't. You know, the very rich candidates will put their own money behind their own campaign. But Dennis knows how to run a guerrilla campaign. He's not going to back down from this campaign. He is going to hang in there when Graham drops out and when Edwards drops out.
We have just 10 or 15 seconds left. If you want to just,
I don't know what I can say. I'm not a 10 or 15 seconds type. But
okay,
I want people to log on to moveon.org and vote for Dennis Kucinich in that primary before June 24th.
Right, moveon.org, and you can vote for Kucinich or whatever candidate you'd like. But
I'm just hoping that they'll vote for Dennis Kucinich. There's nobody.
And Dennis's website is Kucinich.us, right?
Close. That's right.
Great. Thank you very much, Lila Garrett. Thank you for being on our program today. I appreciate your willingness to come on and talk about your candidate. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
The house needs painting, the kids need braces, and your car just died. Looks like you need a loan. But will you get it? It all depends on what lenders see in your credit report, which is why you should check out freecreditreport.com. Log on, and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report and whether everything's accurate. Don't delay. See your credit report instantly. Make sure your credit's ready when you need it with freecreditreport.com.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie,
Have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
The Peter Werby Show.
My website, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in, and in fact, they called in to that 800 number, some right-wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, he says, anywho, you really suck, and anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he did say something about, he says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what he meant. But, you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right? But you know how ornery I actually am, right? And so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess because what you're supposed to have is buttons.
Texture
screw
or something like that.
Screw them. That's what I say. I'm keeping it messy.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Look in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I'm found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. In today's Wall Street Journal, an interesting, the head of the tape, a little column, today's market forecast by Dave Kansas. And he says, yesterday the consumer price index, the core measure of the CPI, rose 0.3%. It's the highest rate of rise in the core in 9 months. Tack on wage growth, about 3% from the year earlier, for those still with jobs, he adds. Which would probably qualify him for a charge of liberal bias from some of these folks. The slackening dollar, fiscal largesse, and higher energy prices, and pretty soon the cards in the deflationary hand start to look no better than a couple of threes. What it's looking like to me is going on here is that by talking down the dollar, that this was something that the Bush administration pulled out of their hat a couple of weeks ago when Jon Snow went on the Saturday afternoon shows and started saying that we would not support the dollar. And the dollar started falling against other currencies. This has actually been going on for some time. It's down, as I recall, about 15 or 16%, a substantial amount. What this means is that imports into the United States get more expensive, and exports from the United States become cheaper. Well, we don't have much exporting, in many exporting industries left in the United States, but what we have will benefit from it. But the imports coming in would get more expensive, and what that does is it drives up prices, which creates inflation, which competes against or removes the problem of deflation in their hopes. Now, there's a lot of problems associated with this because it is, you know, the United States right now is living on debt. And we have this $6 trillion debt. And Bush is cranking it up higher and higher and higher. And the problem is that that debt can only last. The United States can only survive economically if people outside the United States buy our debt. 40% of American debt is held by individuals outside the United States. And if they buy our debt at one value of dollars and then the dollar becomes worth less, they're not making any profit on that debt. They're actually losing money. And if they start shedding our debt really rapidly, it could be a disaster. So strange things are up, strange things happening. They're just, you know, pulling all the strings in all the strange ways that they can. We're going to do this in more detail tomorrow. We're going to have a fascinating program tomorrow also. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place. If you want to change things, get out and vote.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program.